Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
From the number one Sunday Times best-selling author of Her Majesty's Royal Coven comes the stunning sequel, The Shadow Cabinet. Join the witches of Hebden Bridge for more magic, mayhem, and romance as they take on dangerously sexy warlocks and witchfinders. Available in hardback and audiobook, narrated by Bridgerton star Nicola Coughlan. The Shadow Cabinet, the new novel from Juno Dawson, is out now.
Hello and welcome to So I Got to Thinking, the weekly Sex and the City podcast where we take the timeless questions of Carrie Bradshaw and apply them to modern life and love. As ever, you're listening to your very own George and Paul, Dilla and Dilla? Who? Is that our couple name? Dilla, Duna,
Dilla.
And Jillian. Juna Dawson and Dylan B. Jones. And at the moment, we are recapping season two of And Just Like That. Hello, Dylan.
Hi, Juno.
How are you?
I'd be fine if it wasn't for this shitty weather in the middle of July, but you know, we live on a rock in the Atlantic Ocean, so to be expected.
Very true, yeah. I'm okay, it means I don't have to water the garden, so it's fine. So there's a glimpse into my life. This week, we have been watching season two, episode five, Trick or Treat.
Yes.
Directed by Cynthia Nixon herself.
Yes.
Dylan, I mean, I know it offends some of our listeners who have this week compared the potted synopsis noise to the sound of Seema's boyfriend's penis pump.
I wrote that down in my notes. When it goes in, when it goes into the penis pump, I was like, that's our potted synopsis noise.
So Dylan, do you want to open your potted synopsis or apply your penis pump? I don't know which it is. Which is it?
I just did the pumping motion for Juno on camera.
Thanks, I'm blessed.
Okay, right, let's go. Potted synopsis. So Che is really struggling this week. Loads of really interesting stuff for Che. They're doing. Yeah, yeah. They do a focus group about their show.
Oh, it's meta.
Oh,
it's meta, Dylan.
Yes. Oh my god, and it hits. Yeah, they do a focus group about their show, which does not go the way they want it to. Mm-hmm. Miranda is juggling lots of balls this week. Because some of it is self-inflicted, to be honest, I think.
Yeah.
But we can
get to that. I think this plot is going somewhere. We'll talk about Miranda later.
Yeah, so Miranda's kind of going back and forth from Che's in Hudson Yards to her place in Brooklyn. It's a lot. Naya is exploring being single for the first time in a good while. Carrie knocks a tech developer off his bike while wearing a fedora. What else? LTW and her husband, they're in it briefly, but the brief bit that they're in it is quite interesting, I thought. But like extremely briefly, Anthony has enough time to be gay for just like 5 seconds.
Wait, is Anthony gay?
I think he is. And I think he has sex at the gym.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And who have I missed? Oh, Charlotte and Rock. Rock, as you 100% accurately predicted.
Sorry, it was in the trailer. I'm not saying.
Oh, was it? Okay.
It was in the trailer, yeah.
All right, I must have missed that one in the trailer. Yeah, so Rock, we get to the mumager phase of Charlotte, which looking back on it was inevitable, wasn't it? Like, she is a mumager. So, yeah, Rock gets a modelling campaign with, or like, gets an audition with Ralph Lauren.
Yeah.
And that's it. Is that it? Yeah.
Yeah. It. The theme of the week is, if there is a theme, it's can we still be shocked? I think.
Yes. Oh, Seema and the penis pump as well.
Yeah.
That was the other bit.
So I think that's kind of the overarching thing, which is like, can, I suppose if the episode's trick or treat, it's can you teach an old dog new tricks? Can people still be surprised?
Which is a very interesting theme for And Just Like That.
Mm. Yeah, so let's start with Carrie, who is dating one of Charlotte's cast-offs.
Yes.
Keen-eyed viewers will spot that very handsome tech developer George is in fact David, the man who Charlotte gets fixed up with at the temple mixer before she accepts Harry's proposal of marriage. So this is really weird because this is where we left off with our season 6 recap. David is the man who says, would you like to go back to my place for sex? And Charlotte's like, no, I'm okay. It does kind of bug me when shows recycle actors.
Well, it's kind of like not canon, is it, when they do that? Because it's like, yeah.
It's what's frustrating. Obviously, they did it with Seema's dad last year as well. Seema's dad was the busboy who kisses Samantha in season 2 as well.
Yeah, but I was here for that because I feel like it was almost, I think it was probably a deliberate Easter egg because it was like so obscure to notice that character that only eagle-eyed people would. He is handsome. He's like a sort of, he's quite sort of feline. Those like, he's quite
gorgeous.
Like a sort of lion with those eyes.
Kind of interesting that he doesn't look unlike Aiden. Like, is this all foreshadowing? These very tall, white bred men that Carrie keeps. So we've got Che's ex-husband, Lyle, looks a bit like Aiden.
And they had a bit of a flirt.
Yeah, looks a bit like Aiden. Maybe she does have a type.
She does. I mean, all of her men have been, actually Petrovsky wasn't. I was going to say all of her men have been sort of quite tall and broad. That's been like the overarching in general.
With the exception of Petrovsky, yeah.
Yeah.
George is played by Peter Herman, who is the real life spouse of Mariska Hargitay, who I know from the Taylor Swift video for Bad Blood, but I believe she's known for, I want to say it's like one of the CSI franchises or something, Mariska
Hargitay. What a name.
What a fucking name. Yeah, Mariska Hargitay. She's been married to old Peter for a long time. Oh, she's on SVU. Lauren Order Special Victims Unit. She's the highest paid actor on the crime television show Lauren Order. She earns $500,000 an episode.
You know, these TV actors who are in these shows, American shows that just go on forever, earn like a decent packet, I think. I need a show that has Mariska Hargitay, Calista Flockhart, and Marcia Gay Harden in it.
Yeah, because so apparently they have a very beautiful family as well, do Mariska and Peter. And like her character name is Olivia Benson, which is of course the name of one of Taylor Swift's cats.
And Taylor Swift's cat played Fatty in the original Sex and the City.
That is not true.
No, it's not.
I was like, really? I was like shocked that this kind of 6 degrees of Mariska Hargitay.
Firstly, like, how old would that cat be by now? Anyway.
Fatty is no longer with us.
I was going to say right up at the top, our producer, Martin, was messaging us singing mm-hmm. this episode's praises.
Yeah, it was a good episode.
I completely agree. I loved it. I thought the writing was like close to perfect. Mm-hmm. Shout out to, I made a note, Samantha Irby and Lucas Froelich, who wrote this mm-hmm. episode. Really great stuff.
Maybe the problem is Michael Patrick.
Michael Patrick.
I didn't hear anything. Just heard a voice, a ghost has come into the podcast, because it definitely wasn't me or Dylan. I thought this episode was great. I thought again that we've got two episodes on a roll now where it feels like the spiritual successor to Sex and the City.
Yeah, and it made me wish, and I think we actually, to be fair, said this with the Schnapple episode last season. Mm-hmm. It almost made me wish, like, when we got dropped straight into that great Halloween like sort of extravaganza mm-hmm. at the start. It made me think it would have been a bit confusing, but I almost wish the whole event just like that had just started like this, like just dropped us into like
this. Biggie's already dead.
Us into this like Sex and the City-ness again without all the like constant like building up and exposition. But I don't know, maybe it wouldn't have worked. Like that would have been a lot. But anyway.
Yeah, because you're right, they kind of introduced so much. So there was no reason on earth why LTW, for example, couldn't have already been part of the group. Mm. Like,
yeah, it's been a decade.
20
like,
years has passed. Yeah, a decade has passed since Sex and the City 2. Of course they've made new friends. Who hasn't made a new friend in 10 years? Maybe that was the problem. Maybe in season one there was just too much sort of exposition and world building to get through. Mm. Whereas now we can just really enjoy spending time with our many, many, many characters. Mm. So bike paths are terrifying.
Oh, yeah.
I live in Brighton where there are lots and lots of bike paths. I've never been hit by a bike, but I've had a couple of near misses.
Me too.
You know when things are going to get us cancelled? Is this going to be one of those things that gets us cancelled?
What, complaining about cyclists?
Sometimes cyclists ride quite dangerously.
Oh, I mean, yes.
Did I tell you about this? I once got into a fight with this random teenage boy who was cycling on the pavement and crashed into me. And I said, you shouldn't be on the pavement. And he was like, oh, so you're my fucking bitch. And I was what? And I had the little dog with me because he'd almost rode into Prince's lead. So Prince, my little chihuahua, could have been like garrotted.
Well, that could have been it.
On a bike.
That could have been it for Prince, couldn't it? Like, right? Fucking hell. Yeah.
So it was really dangerous. So, I mean, obviously that guy was on the pavement, which is illegal. But there is, I think, both in London and Brighton, there is a certain sense of
entitlement.
But we should say, I was going to use as well.
We should say not all cyclists.
Not all cyclists. And actually, cyclists are very vulnerable. You're much more likely, a cyclist is much more likely to be knocked off a bike than or by a car than you are to be hit by a cyclist. I mean, cyclists. But I will say George is wearing his helmet. That is my one bugbear. No fucker in Brighton on a bike is wearing a helmet. Mm. I'm like, come on, guys. Mm. You're very likely to be knocked off a bike. Wear a helmet. Yeah. This is why I don't ride a bike, because I don't want to squish my hair.
Yeah.
But Carrie's in the wrong. She's in the middle of the bike path on her phone.
Yes.
Carrie is 100% in the wrong in this situation. And yes, she does bring about a wrist break,
yes,
which is bad, and no doubt he'll have paid through the nose for that, because no NHS in New York.
Yeah, because they go to, what's it called, urgent care center. I've never heard of it. I guess it's like if you're if you're not, as long as you're not like dying rather than going to a hospital,
like you, yes, like, so you don't need to... A&E.
Yeah. Which, but then a broken wrist kind of is A&E. Like, we would go to A&E for a broken wrist.
Yeah, of course. If you need plaster or if you need an X-ray, you have to go to accident emergency.
Yeah.
And if you went to your doctors, they would just refer you to A&E anyway. So
I liked the, and this was an example of how the script was really like snappy and clever this week. I liked her filling out his medical form. Like, that was like a nice little tool of her like finding out lots about him.
He was hot. Yeah. He was really, really hot.
Oh, when he stood up off the floor and I was like, oh, He was like 7 feet tall because SJP is so short as well.
Mm-hmm. But I immediately caught, because I'm an insane Sex and the City fan, I was like, I know this face. And then off I went trying to work out where I knew it from and confirming that he is indeed David from the synagogue. Jenny from the block, David from the synagogue. They're back. And I love, love, love that Carrie is dating again. And it's kind of like not a big deal. Like that scene where you just cut to them snogging.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, look, Carrie's having a snog. Good for her.
And I thought it was a really, her knocking him off the bike was like a really Sex in the City style meet cute.
Meet cute.
It was like when she threw the cigarette and burned Patrick the alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
And similar to, yeah, it's just the kind of slapstick hijinks that like Carrie gets up to, isn't it?
Yeah, Carrie's back. I love, and as well, she should be so lucky. She's accidentally knocked a tech millionaire off his bike. He lives in the most fabulous museum space. I like that. Yeah. Even Carrie clocks that it's a museum space.
She's like, is this an art gallery or do you live here? Also, really loved when you said about them kissing. Mm-hmm. With both Seema's sex scene and this scene with Carrie, the little bits of consent when he's just like, he like puts his hand on her wrist and just quietly says, "Is this okay?" and then keeps going. I liked it. It feels sexy and it feels realistic. Like that's the sort of thing that I have said and have been said to with like hookups with men at the moment. Yeah. Like and you know, like going forward, it's always now very much, is this, you know, like a quick, is this okay when you're about to do stuff.
And then of course after you finish kissing them, you always say, Hi you.
Yeah. the lean back and the smile. Yeah, hi,
don't
you.
Forget. I don't think his slightly toxic relationship with his tech bra partner, that's not going to put me off.
Oh.
He's tall, he's rich. Like Seema says, everybody has a problem. You know, by the time you get to your 40s or 50s, if it's not a penis pump, it's a pushy tech bra business partner. And I would have welcomed, I've forgotten, what was his horrid, was it Paul? George and Paul. I would have been fine with Paul. I would have been like, I've met my really tall millionaire.
We can deal with
Paul.
He's
got a pushy friend, yeah.
I thought that scene on the bed with the FaceTime was like so effective and funny.
Yeah.
Like when he's just like, and I've never seen it before, and the phone's just like next to her. And she's like just lying there like listening to him. I thought that was really great.
And as well, feels realistic. I mean, Sex and the City's always danced a fairly fine line between what's realism and what's not. But it feels like kind of like, I wonder if one of the writers had this experience of, I met the perfect guy, but I can't be the third wheel in his intense work relationship.
Yeah. And they got do bits and pieces of writing for an app, which is like a startup app tech company, and they got that kind of guy like triggeringly right for me. I've had phone calls not dissimilar.
Maybe Sexy George will come back. Because I just think, Carrie, you were lucky enough to marry one millionaire. What are the chances that two would come along? I mean, maybe we should just go live in Manhattan. Maybe your odds of walking into a millionaire are just a little bit higher.
Well, I'm a bit like, I mean, there's quite a few of them in London. And never have I been to a flat that looks like an art gallery. So I don't know where they all are. Maybe I'm just, you know, interacting with the wrong people. But
I once accidentally dated a very wealthy man. I didn't know about it. It was when I was much, much younger. But I think he was like family money.
Oh,
he was really posh. And I found
old
it
money.
Weird.
Old
he
money.
He was into some weird shit.
Of
he
course.
Was the one who, he had erectile dysfunction and wanted to watch me get hammered by like Scally Lad trigger film men.
Oh, okay, right.
And I was like, that is such a production number. Like, who can be bothered? Like, who's going to recruit these
these men.
Tracksuit wearing men. Kind of, it's not a Troye Sivan video.
So Carrie just picks up and leaves, doesn't she? She's like, I'll see you later.
Off she bobs, and George is... George is a workaholic, clearly, and is in thrall of Paul. He's in thrall of Paul. And so, yeah, maybe Carrie just can't be... Carrie cannot be a third wheel. So off she bobs. Yep. But, and just like that, she's back on the bike.
Yeah, nice.
Love that Carrie's dating in, because it feels quite organic. So the first date, She dated the teacher in season one, and obviously that was a disaster.
Oh, yeah.
She threw up on him. Then, obviously, old What's-His-Chops from off of the podcast, who has been forgotten, so much so I've forgotten his name. Gone and forgotten, as it turns out. And then, now she's back. She's just quite natural. And then maybe that's how it works, isn't it? When you least expect it, you will hit a man on a bike and end up snogging him in his beautiful home.
Yeah. We like to think so.
Good work, Carrie. Let's take a short break, and when we come back, we will get into the surprisingly effective Che and Miranda storyline.
Yes.
See you in a second.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to So I Got to Thinking. This week we're talking about season 2, episode 5 of Unjust Like That, Trick or Treat. Right, let's get into Miranda. So actually, Che and Miranda have different but overlapping plots this week, which is, have you noticed this little theme, the Miranda theme this year, which is a story about a woman who is pleasing everybody but herself?
Yes.
Am I noticing that as well? Are you noticing that as well?
Yeah, well, I was sort of like, when she goes back to Brooklyn in the morning at the beginning, and she's like making breakfast, and she's like, oh, the two of you would starve if I didn't make it. Like, when did she become this woman? Like, this is the opposite of what Miranda used to be. And it's clearly because she, and it does make sense to be fair, because it's supposed to be because she feels awful, isn't it, about breaking up the marriage. But then she's also being, she's very submissive, particularly in this season, to everyone. And it's an interesting development for her character. Like, she's so apologetic to Che when she's like getting up and stuff.
Yeah.
And Che, I mean, it's a bit of a roller coaster with Che this week, But for a lot of this episode, I was like, I hate you a lot, Che.
it feels like everybody's taking Miranda for granted. Brady is horrible to her. Che is horrible to her.
Yeah.
Miranda has taken on 100% of the responsibility for the failure of her marriage, even though Steve wasn't sexually satisfying her or emotionally satisfying her, actually. So it feels, I really hope this is going somewhere. And it feels like it's building and building, like volcano style, to a point where Miranda is just going to be like, fuck the lot of you.
Yeah.
Because it feels like that would be, I'm getting close to that. But, you know.
It would be great if, and they've clearly, I mean, as we've seen with a lot of the scripting in this episode, they've clearly been taking notes of a lot of the critiques of And Just Like That and Sex and the City.
Mm-hmm.
One of which, the most significant of one of them, was that none of the ladies ended either of those shows being single. It would be great if we end on Miranda being single, like going out by herself. She's like been on a journey of self-discovery. She knows what she wants now. And she's ready to like properly face the world.
Yeah. I don't know. I couldn't tell you how or where Miranda's plot is going to end. I just don't know. But it feels, I hope that we are building towards her reclaiming some of her autonomy.
Yeah.
Like,
well, she's moving in with Naya.
Yeah. So that is good. But then again, hardly ideal when she has a townhouse in Brooklyn and a partner who has their own apartment.
Mm.
So why is this woman living in a spare room in a single bed?
Yeah.
Because again, it feels like she's doing all the compromising, whereas Che, Brady, Steve are doing nothing. And I think that's where this storyline is heading this year, which is kind of the emancipation of Miranda Hobbs.
Mm.
And I hope that's where it's going. I really hope she's going to tell both Che and Brady in particular to
shove it.
Fuck off. So let's swing us to Che, because Che is having a really hard time. So it's somewhat understandable. But at the same time, and we talked about this last week, which is the very nuanced, complicated character of Che Diaz, as played very well by Sara Ramirez. And this week attempts to answer the question of, are we meant to like Che Diaz?
Mm.
Because I wonder, perhaps the answer might have been, maybe we were meant to like Che Diaz. So to put this into context, we have Che's Che Passa is tested in front of a screening audience, which Che is surprisingly excited for. I would have been rather more wary. And in fact, to be honest, I would have probably sat that one out and just waited for the notes. But Che decides that they want to go and watch this focus group.
I mean, part of you would want to, wouldn't it?
Well, I think if Che's an exec producer on it, you would probably have to.
Yeah.
But if you're also an actor in it, that does put you in a very vulnerable position.
Yeah, yeah.
But as with a lot of focus groups, it's random people allegedly plucked from Times Square to try and get like a cross-section of the American TV viewing public. This isn't something that really happens in the UK. We don't really test shows with people.
Mm.
But I think given that America is essentially several countries in one, you know, a show that works well in the West Coast and East Coast isn't necessarily going to play very well in Iowa or Texas. So they do test things.
I've been invited to be part of a focus group or a test group, or whatever it's called, for a film, which I'm very intrigued by. So we'll see how that goes.
Okay.
I imagine it'll be a lot of watching the film and then just a lot of chat and a lot of making notes.
Yeah.
But yes.
Mm. Che doesn't hear what they want to hear, and that Tony Danza gets great feedback, but Che Diaz, as played by Che Diaz, is both misgendered and slated, and brutally of all, is slated by a non-binary person from Brooklyn.
I liked a bit of Miranda's like snobbery coming out when she was like, oh, as if tourists in Times Square are going to know about your life. Like, very like North London metropolitan elite behaviour from Miranda.
Yeah. I'll tell you where there are trans people. Everywhere there are people.
Yeah.
The notion that every trans person has moved to a metropolitan centre is sadly just not true.
Yeah.
You know, I was a trans child in West Yorkshire. That's where trans people come from. So yeah, and this is where it gets very, very meta, in that it really did feel like a moment of reflection for the way Che Diaz has been received. And I think kind of acknowledging that the makers of Sex and the City and then just like that are aware that Che Diaz is a divisive character. I did see Che described on TikTok as the worst TV character of all time ever. I think that's really unfair.
Yeah.
And I will tell you why. Because...
Well, because it's obviously Sally Webster from Coronation Street. No, I'm kidding.
Sophie Rosa, go wash your hands.
Go upstairs, girls.
Go wash your hands, tub bins on toast. Mustati cheese. But anyway, Che Diaz is a complex character. They are selfish. They are self-involved. They are damaged. They're insecure.
They're interesting. Like, they're an interesting character. So, yeah, it is very unfair to say.
Egotistical.
Yeah.
Basically, all the words you can think of for an actor. So, if Che Diaz is playing a performer... Yeah, what do you think it takes to succeed in film and television? No one is going to ask you to do a stand-up special. You have to have a kind of drive and ambition that would terrify most people. You know, actors, to my actor friends listening, I love you all, but your life is mad. You know, kind of, they're not going to show up at your wedding. They're not going to show up at your birthday because they'll be filming a horror film in Budapest. You know, this is what it takes to be an actor. And I think in that regard, Sara Ramirez is doing a wonderful job of playing Che Diaz. I think the reason some people really struggle with Che is because we are really protective of Miranda.
And I've noticed that some people, and this is fair enough, like everyone watches things in their own way and interprets things in their own way. Some people, if they don't like a character and wouldn't like them in real life, then conclude that the character should not be in the show. And also perhaps that they hate the actor sometimes, even in extreme cases. And that's not the case. Like, these characters are necessary to keep things punchy and keep the drama going.
In some ways, Che Diaz is the new Mr. Big. You know, what were we meant to do with Mr. Big back in the day? Were we meant to love him? Were we meant to hate him? I spent a lot of time really hating Mr. Big because of the way he treated Carrie. You know, when he resurfaced in season 3, I was like, no, get away from her. She's with Aiden now. You know, I was like, jump scare, kind of.
And yeah, just really interesting in this episode, just Che. And I wonder if they did, I wonder how deliberate this was. I think they made Che annoying deliberately in this episode so that then the end bit was all the more effective. Like when Miranda's like eating that curry and like suffering, and Che's like, you know what, that's what happens when you order something spicy, and it's just like, oh, shut up.
I mean could I live with Che and their friends in the next room? Fuck off. So inconsiderate. Tell your friends to fuck off. You know, but this is it. This is part of Miranda's problem, which is, why isn't Miranda making her needs clear to Che? Why is Miranda so in awe of Che and so concerned about Che's happiness over her own? It's a really complicated relationship that I'm actually really enjoying this season. I mean, I did wonder if Che was so poorly received, if they were just going to cut Che out of this series. And I think if they weren't being played by one of the most kind of like popular TV actors in America. Obviously, Sara Ramirez has a track record with Grey's Anatomy, you know, kind of. Or was it ER?
It was Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, it was Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah.
So I think if it was any other actor, possibly they would have dumped them. But I'm really, really glad they've kept Che around. Yeah. I think it's a really interesting storyline.
And also, like, apart from anything else, respectful to Sara Ramirez as well, because it would have sucked for them, for Sara, if they had just canned them. Because
it does happen. It does. Like Riley from Buffy the Vampire Slayer was meant to be around for the long haul. He got dumped.
Yeah,
it does happen.
The line from the focus group that actually made me spit out my coffee, because I felt like it was like not just directed at Che, but also directed at and just like that as a whole, is when that person says the whole Che character was like a walking boomer joke that felt so fake to me. It feels like they've literally like. It feels like the people in that focus group were like a metaphor for people on social media talking about and just like that.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, yeah. That was like, I think that is as meta as Sex and the City has ever gone.
Yeah.
And, but how are you listening? Are you listening to it? You know, are you listening to that feedback?
Mm.
You know, and just like that did not get a single Emmy nomination this week. Ratings have crashed since season one.
Yeah.
I hope it's not too late. Actually, last week when there was that great feedback around the Jizz episode, I've seen a lot of people on social media, on Instagram and now Threads, saying, okay, maybe I have to get back into one just like that. Maybe I need to go back to one just like that. Mm. And I would say do, if for some bizarre reason you're listening to this podcast but not watching one just like that. give it another whirl. Season two has been an improvement, without a shadow of a doubt.
For sure.
You know, it has been better.
But I do still have that that nervousness about just going forward. So it does still have that the inconsistent tendencies that the first season had. And I'm sure Michael Patrick King will be writing the finale. I'll just leave that statement there.
Because Samantha Irby is a bit younger, I think, and Samantha Irby is not a boomer, and I wonder if that's part of the problem. In that, but that said, one of the show's aims is to talk about adjusting to the modern world and how it is to be a person in your 50s, kind of adjusting to the rise of Gen Z. But then you sort of think Sarah Jessica Parker in real life, surrounded by queer people, trans people, reading widely, living in Manhattan. How it feels like she's really well adjusted to modern life. It feels like she doesn't need anybody to explain being non-binary to her.
Yeah.
So again, maybe the problem is the ghost is back. This ghost just keeps launching into our podcast.
It's Casper the Friendly come.
Yeah, just flying around my living room. Just get out, Casper. Go back in somebody's testicles. Shoot. I mean, and again, these insanely long episodes as well. So this week's storyline that I think we could have all done without is probably Rock becoming a Ralph Lauren model.
Yeah.
And Harry creeping around dressed in a wig from Scooby-Doo. Like, he looked like Evan Peters in the Dharma miniseries. Oh. I was like, why are you dressed like Jeffrey Dahmer with the glasses and the hair? I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah, it was odd. I enjoyed Charlotte, like, really getting into it. And I really, for some reason, really laughed at when she's like, oh, I'm so proud of you, to Rock. And Rock's like, I haven't even done anything yet. And then Charlotte's like, that's okay. It's already amazing. Just because they're like on like a shoot for Ralph Lauren. She's like, oh, it's amazing.
When I was a teen model.
Yeah. So yeah, at the more, and of course she was a more model, like a more Ralph Lauren. I wonder, I have a question about the trailer. So I swear in the trailer, in the scene when Charlotte and Rock are making that, as Harry says, Norman Rockwell dinner scene, while they're making dinner for Harry, I swear in the trailer, Lily then comes in and says something like, oh, I want to start having sex, or I want to lose my virginity or something.
Yeah, well, I just think we haven't got to that bit yet.
Oh, okay, yeah. Hmm.
Because obviously Aiden was in the trailer, Dylan, and we've not got to that bit yet either.
No, but I mean, it looked like it was that scene. is what I'm thinking.
Sure Charlotte will be wearing her pinny in many other episodes.
Slightly pointless. A Charlotte and Harry bit I did really like that was slightly reminiscent of Jules and Mimi was them being like addicted to that show.
That's the weirdest joke ever. Yeah, we're obsessed with the Americans, show which I believe has now wrapped. So I'm just really cutting edge pop culture reference there.
And they were like, and Charlotte was like, everyone's crazy. Why doesn't anyone like this show?
Also, Evan Handler's wig was nothing like Thingy's hair in. Is it Thingy Get? No, who is it? Matthew Thingy. It's nothing like his hair. He has really curly hair, for one thing. And then Harry's wearing this, like, sort of Zac Efron High School Musical wig, kind of. Bizarre.
Yeah, so this rock storyline, yeah. I mean, I suppose it's going somewhere, because it didn't really conclude at the end of this episode, but...
Oh, is it? I mean, much we can get out of that. I don't know.
We could do without it. As our producer Martin, it was a low point. As our producer Martin said, let me just look at his message, because I liked it. Producer Martin said, it wasn't quite 5 out of 5 scrunchies. It was some Kirby clips and a few bobbles. So, like, almost there.
Yeah, nearly halfway. I think between these last two episodes, I'm feeling very much more comfortable. I thoroughly enjoyed this one. It felt shorter as well. Like, there wasn't any tedious LTW dinner party to get through. Kind of. None of that gubbins. Naya's back. She hasn't been written out. Phew.
Yep.
She's having sexy fun time in hotels. Which brings us to Seema with the penis pump.
Yeah.
I really liked, should we just do it loads of times? Martin, if you could just do the potted synopsis noise several times in a row. Thanks.
Your poor friend in Sydney is...
Sorry, Niall. God, I'm sorry. Tormenting you through across an ocean and via a podcast. That's my toxic trait. I really liked... So I love Seema. I really loved how she wasn't, like, freaked out by the penis pump. Mm. And that actually she was prepared to go along with it for her B+ sex. Yeah. I think Seema deserves nothing less than A- sex.
But I did very much like the realism of her being like, you know what, like, B+ sex, he's a nice guy, you know, we have a fun time, and sometimes that's all we can ask for. And I was like, do you know what, Seema? You're right.
Because we've talked about this before with kind of when it comes to, like, when it was Trey with his erectile dysfunction or premature ejaculation, that for me, I couldn't care less about things like that as long as it stays sexy and as long as somebody's like, I'm not hard right now, so I'm going to, like, eat you out or something.
Yes.
There are so many ways around it. Like, don't turn it into a drama, because drama's not sexy. So if you come quickly or if you can't get hard, just do something else, including use a sex toy, which is why it was so bewildering to me that the guy freaked out when Seema got out a vibrator.
I saw it coming because, and again, it reminded me of Sex in the City. We've had storylines like this in Sex in the City with, like, men being hypocritical. I can't think, was it one of Miranda's men who, like, he did something and then freaked out when she did something, that, like, the double standards, basically. Mm. But I did really love Seema's, like, sort of cheeky, self-satisfied grin when he was like, stop it, stop doing it. And she just, like, kept doing it. And she was like, I'm just going to keep doing it. Fuck you.
Yeah. Because he came. And that's depressing that in the year of our Lord 2023 that there would be a man who was like, oh, well, I'm finished now, so I guess we're done.
Yeah. But I'm sure there still is.
Yeah. This is what we call the orgasm gap. I've seen various female writers talk about the frequency of male orgasms to female orgasms. And I think men are still finishing more often than women. But I do think, if you're gonna do zegs, no, I think sometimes not everybody has to come every time, but I think it has to be kind of...
So I usually, firstly, very, very different with gay men. I usually have no issues finishing. But a lot of the time, you know, like sometimes the other person doesn't. And I'll then say to them, like, do you want to? Do you want to finish? And then most of the time they're like, oh, no, it's fine. Don't worry. But yeah, it's good to ask, I think.
100%. Yeah. Sometimes you're more just about your partner. But you should always, if Seema obviously wants to finish, I think he should have finished her off.
Yeah.
She wanted to finish, so.
Yeah.
Selfish.
I love Seema's advice to meet men. Just go to the bar of a 5-star hotel and sit there looking gorgeous with a drink. Mood.
It is, although I always find hotel bars a bit depressing, especially outside of London. Maybe I've just spent too long sort of staying in sort of strange, like, places. But I think even in, like, Manchester, I'm not sure who you're going to meet in a hotel bar. I think in London, this is different. If you're in, like, the Soho Hotel or Charlotte Street Hotel, like, there's really sort of high-endy hotels. Maybe you'll get some businessy people in there. But more often than not, it's just people in transit looking a bit sad and having a beer with their work colleagues.
Yeah, or like tourist couples from like Dubai or whatever. Although yeah. The reason I loved it is because one of my favourite things, so this is one of the areas where we differ, one of my favourite things is actually going to sit in a hotel bar by myself with a drink and just sitting there and just like, you know, on a book or on my laptop or, yeah. Just in like a
maybe
nice...
I am now married, but maybe for sheer investigative journalist reasons, I will go and pull a Seema and just go and sit with a Negroni in Ham Yard Hotel or something.
Oh, yes. Yeah, the Ham Yard, that'd be good.
Yeah. I bet that's a good one for meeting men. I bet Ham Yard is a good one, yeah.
I get a slight... can I say this? I get a slight sex worker vibe from the Ham Yard Hotel as well. And that's not... that is by no means... If anything, it's a compliment to the Ham Yard Hotel. But like, I'm not saying it is. Don't sue us. But
I got that all the time. What are you saying about me? I just have meetings there with non-sex worker clients.
We had a drink there, didn't we?
We did. Yeah. We were not selling sex or buying it, for that matter.
Not until later, anyway.
Okay. Also, thank you, Mattel / Warner Brothers, for not inviting either of us to the Barbie premiere.
Yeah, come on. What's going on?
Oh, rude. Rude. I think we've touched all our bases there. Well done. Well done and just like that for being good.
Yes.
And please keep being good. And then we can keep being nice about it. Yeah, I hope. I'm intrigued to see what happens next. Is this the end for Che and Miranda? Like I said, I think Miranda needs to tell Che to snap out of it.
Yeah. I suppose the tricky thing is, if it is the end for Che and Miranda and they want to keep Che in the show, how do they do that? I suppose Che and Carrie start a project together or something. There's ways of them doing it.
Yeah, I think... Because if you remember Steve, Aiden, Big were never consistently... They weren't in every episode.
That's true.
You know, maybe Che doesn't need to be in every episode. Maybe they go away and come back. Who can say? We'll find out next week when we do, and just like that, season 2, episode 6.
Yeah.
Until then, be sure to like and subscribe, and we will see you next time. Until then, see you next Tuesday. Bye!
Bye.
The softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details. How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger. Feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC.
Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Voluma XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.